And this is Russ Dizdar, the Ragged Edge Late Night Show. This is a university. This is a college course. This is something that maybe hasn't been taught anywhere else. Maybe little bits of it here, little bits of it there. I want you to know that it's a major, major undertaking on our part. This side of the fence over here, behind the microphone, glad you're here. Russ Dizdar, listen, website, shatterthedarkness.net. Shatterthedarkness.net. And if you're coming into this class, and listen, I'm going to welcome everybody coming into the chat room right now. I have no idea how broad this will go. Listeners could be anywhere from 50 to hundreds in one time, and then thousands into the archives. So you've got to understand how big, broad, and spiritual, when I say that, by the hand of God, and because of spiritual warfare, this entire course is going to be. So let me say welcome to truckers, to bikers, to believers in Christ, to those who are not, to those who are opposed, to law enforcement, to the government, to whoever else, all of you, to victims. This course ultimately is, in a real sense, for the victims. Because there are so many, we're going to talk about such a variety of the underground. And I'm going to ask you whether you have ever been involved in any kind of, intervention and investigation of the underground satanic covens, cults. It's going to range from the individuals that have been through things and demonization and the ramping up of that all the way to the big thing, the big broad picture. Are there really 40 million worldwide that have been through satanic ritual abuse, mind control, and part of an agenda? Does this play a part in the end of days and the creation of or the backing of a new order and the coming Antichrist? I believe it does. But we're going to take this one week at a time, 3 hours every Tuesday night, and we're glad you're here. I really am glad that you're here. Here's what we got to do. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we rebuke Satan, ask you to crush all of his attempts, and deliver us all from evil and wicked men. Stretch out your hands with great grace and great might and great kindness and great mercy, Lord Jesus. Be present, Lord, and ministering to every single person that's coming in to listen live on these Tuesday nights. And then through the archives all around the world, we're going to ask you to bless. We're going to ask you to summon and call and ask believers to get out there on the field. We're going to ask you to bring extraordinary healing to victims, bring extraordinary discernment and exposure to the radical to the underground. Just, Father, just like in Ezekiel chapter 8, there's a reason why. We ask your blessing on all your coverage on families and life and health and every, that's how, Father, we ask you to move all believers listening and know about this course to pray. We love you tonight. We love the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And we enter this subject asking you to build our faith and help us to step out and help us to become more empowered and ultimately, God, to help individuals and to be able to kind of like I say sometimes, scream out to the world wherever you are. We pray in Jesus' name. Love you guys tonight. Thank you for being here. And regardless of background, and listen, welcome to the chat room. We're going to see that kind of fill up. But I want you to know this. You've got to know my bias. If you're law enforcement, government, backgrounds, whatever else, you've got to know my bias. I'm a believer in Christ, and he's going to be all through this entire course. God's grace, God's power, God's might, because it'll involve spiritual warfare. Years ago, when I was recruited to be a police chaplain, I was brought into one of the police academy training nights, and there they allowed me to speak on satanic occult crimes. This is way back in the 90s. We got done with the training course and everything else, and a police officer comes up to me and said, "Hey, man, come over here." "Hey, man." I said, "Okay." He said, "Come over here because," and he said it to me privately. He says, "What do I do?" He says, "I was on this case. We had to go break this drug stuff, and I had to break, we had to go in. And the people that we caught, the one individual, a voodoo priestess, said, 'I'm going to put a curse on you.'" This officer was afraid. He says, what do I do? Did you know that police officers in Mexico, they're trying to find other kind of poleros and priestesses and wear amulets and charms because drug lords and the priests that they've brought in and priestesses are doing sacrificial rituals to Santa Muerte and to demon gods to bless the drug trade, to go against their competition, and they've got specific rituals they'll do just to keep law enforcement out of it. So I know that we will have law enforcement. I already know that. I got that heads up. We're glad. We got an invitation. I have not answered this yet, but down south to do some training on Satanism 101, the course we've done in the past. But let me say this. This is all about the SIIU, the Shatter Intervention Investigative Unit. It's been quiet. We've been larger at times, smaller at times, highly involved, a little bit involved. We're allowing, I'm just right now going to bring a lot of it out. Not everything, but because of individuals and their protection. But we're going to bring out what we can to deal with this subject. You remember how it was in the 80s and the 90s maybe, and all the big store, and you have Geraldo Rivera and everybody talking about the satanic panic and everything going on. That's kind of all dumbed down and died out, and what's happened is a lot of people said that it's all gone away. None of that is true. It is broadened. It's moved to the next and the next and the next generation. We're going to talk about, well, occultism, dark occultism, Crowleyanism, popular Satanism, all kinds, but we're going to really engage the underground very much. We're going to engage the underground because I believe it's linked to, and I just did this earlier in the live show that we do, the radio show we do, the Ragged Edge Live, when I mentioned about nations, and I'm reading all these other individuals, and I already knew this, nations are in decline on an economic level, political level, because of their moral structures and their economic and their wickedness and all the rest. But everybody out there that I've been reading that knows God agrees that it's always because of a spiritual decline. And where there's been a spiritual decline in Europe, in the United States, other places, don't forget the dark side comes. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. There's an agenda. I want you to know, regardless of your background, believe it or not, that Satan is real. And that's part of the issue of the fall of the human race and where we are as human beings and why radical evil and occult and satanic crimes are going on. Not just the things back in some woods somewhere where they did something to an animal, but on a extremely orchestrated, very sophisticated level. And I'm going to tell you this now, and I'll be breaking this down constantly. There may be now up to 100 million that have been at least drawn in with the attempts to demonize them and create them to be part of this multinational, national and ultimately a one world order. There's a reason for this. They want this. The first generation between 55 and 65, some say 40 million around the world, and I'm going to say that that's probably true. But then they've got children, and they got children, and all the way down to the 5, 6, 7-year-olds, we're dealing with it. And so because it hasn't gone away, because it just simply the news about it went away, and many reporters and journalists and even in law enforcement did not know how to go after the underground, sophisticated, supernaturally protected the satanic agenda. Just the kind that I'm talking about, mark it down. It's in your workbook, by the way, Ezekiel chapter 8. So welcome again to everybody coming in. We're giving everybody a little bit of time. Here's what you're going to find out. This first hour, we're going to go all the way to 8:30, just about 8:30. We're going to give you a break of about 3 or 4 minutes. You'll hear some the background music you'll hear. That's just a simple break time. I'll go get a drink of water or whatever else. You can go to the bathroom, get a drink of water. Then we'll come for the second hour. We'll do the same thing at 9:30. Then we'll come for the third hour, in which we'll open up the lines, open up questions in the chat room. Tonight is week one. There's 4 specific areas, and if you got the workbook, now that's okay. If you didn't get the workbook yet, you can get it and you can go to the archives. Every week on this blog talk station that I have here, you can go immediately tonight afterwards and get the archives. Now, I'm also going to place the archives. I'm recording these separately on a different computer. And on the SIIU Shatter site, we're going to put the archives there. We're going to add in all of the other PDF files and videos. Please understand the workbook. You don't have to have that at all. But I encourage you, like I've got mine before me, and I mean, it's just written on pages backwards and forwards. I mean, everywhere. Because, you know, I'm putting all my stuff in there. You're going to be able to, you need something to write down. If you're really caring about the subject, then you're going to need to write down. You're going to need to put things down and prepare. And because I'm going to have a lot of suggestions to bring to you. A lot of things to bring to you concerning, we're going to add extra things on the site, PDF files that I'll mention, video files. You're going to have homework. So tonight is, and this is volume one for the first 9 weeks. And tonight it's week one. It's an introduction to satanic crimes, occult crimes. And there's four things. An introduction, we'll give you that. Then there's going to be a spiritual empowerment, biblical backgrounds. And then thirdly, there's going to be a special guest. Not tonight, though. This is the only night we're not going to have a special guest. I'm going to go to that page and give you a major amount of resource and some books if you're really interested in learning and growing. And I'll tell you about that when we get to it. And then in the last hour when we open up the lines and open the chat room, I'm going to give you homework. Every week there's going to be homework listed. Now, on the website, I know we didn't have like the registration. We're going to have, I'll put something up that shows that you've joined in and that you're actually doing the course material. Because I used to teach these classes locally, and there I am before 20, 30 people. And there they are, you know, going through. And so I can assess it better, and we could even do a little testing at the end of the 9 weeks. And at the end of the second 9 weeks, the total end of the course, 18 weeks, we're going to offer, you'll hear about this, a major 3-day conference here in my locality that kind of is like the going to cap off this entire course. So you will learn, but I'm going to also tell you this, and all believers need to understand this, you're going to get into spiritual warfare. Every time I've taught this course, and this is going to be the deepest level of stuff and the most in one course I've ever done. And in all the rest of them over the years, 20 years, I have watched individuals come in and take the course, and in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, five are gone, six are gone. I was in one place teaching at a church that invited me to do a 12-week course, and 30-some people, and these were paid courses out there. This course here is absolutely free only because I felt led that it needs to get to the most people possible. The only thing it costs, if you want it, is that workbook, and I do encourage you to get it. And it's not much. If you buy the workbook just to read, it's not going to do you any good. It's so that you can go through point by point by point by point with me and write down and put things down. And here's what I do. I trust the Lord to give me scripture, give me insight. I write down resources and things. It becomes, I mean, I just engage it. It becomes a workbook. And God's going to be interactive. For those who are believers, you're going to have the Lord speak to you. You're going to have scripture come to you. You're going to probably have things to deal with. And so some of you, as already, I got this today. Somebody wrote me today that's taking this training. They may or may not be here right now. They just got evicted. They wanted prayer, so I'm going to put out prayer for Terry. And they got evicted, and I think they're in a wheelchair or they're incapacitated in some way. And they want to take this very badly, and they said they feel everything. The enemy's coming against them. And so pray for her. Pray that God will. And that's what we did today. We prayed for her and sent her prayers in engaging. But she feels it's because she stepped up to take the class. Quick note. In the Last Supper, the disciples had been trained for 3 years, and they were getting ready to be commissioned to go to the world, and Pentecost, the power of the Spirit of God, was coming. But guess who shows up? Jesus says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked. They didn't know he entered the room. They didn't know of his presence. They were just eating and enjoying, and Jesus, nothing gets by him. And he tells them that Satan has come to destroy them. So I'm going to tell you right now, the experience has been that people taking courses like this, and I've experienced it, warfare comes, and the enemy wants to knock you out in the beginning. But I do believe if you really seek the Lord, really walk in Him, really grow, you will become more and more powerful. So my prayer for your experience is Acts chapter 9, verse 22. Acts chapter 9, verse 22. So again, welcome all those who are here. And all of you around the world by the archives, I pray the Lord's presence lead and guide you. That's going to be an emphasis. So if you've got a background in law enforcement, military, or whatever else, counselor, and you say, well, I'm not into the Christian thing, I ask you, if you're open-minded, then listen to the perspective we bring. Because Satan really is real. And we'll talk about that along the way also. So tonight we're going to get into, we are on page 19. If you didn't get the workbook yet, you know, still get it, order it, whatever else, because the archives, you can go right back and re-go over. Or if you miss a Tuesday night, you can have the archives. That's better than a college class. You'll have all of it to where you can go over it point by point by point. You can download it, make CD. You can use it. Just don't alter it. That's the only copyright issue we have. Don't sell it. Don't alter it. But make as much and give as much away freely. Thank you. The introduction to occult and satanic crimes. Just to give you a quick background, too, I've been on the field full-time ministry about 38 years. We were doing evangelism and we're gauging deliverance issues. I mean, that's all the way back 38 years ago. But it was just a few years into doing evangelism, we really engaged Satanism among young folks in the greater Akron area, Canton area, and all around this area, Barberton. And we began to make a point of going after them evangelistically. And when we did, we found that they were reading books, they had ritual sites, they were cutting up dogs and cats, they were learning things that almost nobody knew about. And that's in the 70s, end of the 70s. The certain music played a role, Satanic Bible and other stuff that was out played a role, ABCs of witchcraft, all those things played a role. But what nobody knew back then, from a biblical perspective, the ramping up of the dark side and the engagement of the dark side would be unprecedented in all of history. So going back 35 years, I watched as the dark side experientially has developed and showed its raw, bloody, ugly side. And that's what we've been after for years. And so when we formed Shadow of the Darkness, it was evangelistic ministry, but targeting then eventually young folks and then anyone in the dark occultism, Satanism, demonization issues. We've been through hundreds of possessed, you know, deliverance sessions and so forth. So and with cops and with psychologists and with counselors and with pastors and with teachers and so forth coming into our room, some of them needing the deliverance issues and had demonic presence. So this is vital because on a broad scale, after many years on the field, specifically in tracking, it's been close to 30 years of the concept you're going to get in SIIU. That is the intervention side, the investigative side. It's based on, listen, the concepts that you find in Ezekiel chapter 8. Now that's important. Ezekiel chapter 8. There's a homework assignment with some study questions at the end of this 1 week chapter in your workbook. And we're going to tell you that we want you to study Ezekiel 8 well. And there's some things that we need to understand. Number one, as I read that, it's like, wow, this underground satanic or luciferic coven grouping was there a long time. When you study the Old Testament backdrop to these kind of groups, there would have been blood sacrifice, child sacrifice. There were symbols on the wall. God called all of this detestable and more detestable and described. Now, this is the issue. Nobody, not even Ezekiel the good prophet, knew that it was there. But it was. This is a major factor in the entire course. That God knows exactly where the covens are, where the abusers are, where the, you know, where all the real stuff is in Ezekiel's day, Ezekiel chapter 8. It was deeply, physically hidden. And I believe to this day now, there's a supernatural demonic side of protection, a wall of physical secrecy, and they were hidden in a very deep and guarded place, and that's just the same today. But they're also hidden like with a spiritual wall that nobody could penetrate. Nobody knew. The prophet didn't know. God had to engage the prophet and say, hey, and take him, and then God would break open a hole and go to a door and open a door, and Ezekiel was willing, but God took him in. Do you ever wonder why it's placed there in Ezekiel 8? I think because what God did there, he wanted the exposure of the underground radical stuff. That's the kind of thing that was being done all the way back to Sumer. In the days of Josiah, in the days of Manasseh, in the days of the Molochs and the Baals and the Chemosh and Nebo and all the rest. And you can look through the history side of things back to Sumer, and you find mass numbers of demon gods and goddesses, connections to blood sacrifice, human sacrifice, child sacrifice, and the opening of doorways, the opening of gateways, and the subjugation of people, and they're being led satanically to appease the demon gods. The Mayans, the Aztecs, this is true in China, this is true in Bosnia, this is true around the world. I've got four books to my right, not written by Christians, about human sacrifice around the world and the cases and the archaeologists who've dug up. And so we will bring out a lot of materials to give you verification of the past, verification in the biblical account, verification for what's been going on the last 35 years and ramping up, and then biblical, you know, prophecy that says it's going to become wider and broader than ever before. So I hope you're ready for that, and I hope that you're ready. If you've got your workbook, page 19, if you'll mark in the very beginning, Ezekiel 8, it's a big issue to study, and the issue of verification. Here's what we found out, even in studying, because here's why. Back in the 80s, when we got involved in the underground satanic ritual abuse, the programming side of things, and we were being led all over to graveyards and underground places, to barns, to military bases, old bases, out of the state, dig up bones, bring them back, all this stuff. And we had to then, after hearing stories of detestable things, gruesome things, really bad things, I began to look at all of this, and I would just be utterly amazed. I mean, I would say, God, is all of this real? So here's what we did back in the early 80s. We formed a small group that said, hey, we're going to pray, and we're going to say, we're going to go ahead and believe victims. We're going to go after, and we are going to go check it out. We're going to go look to vet this, to verify this. We were big on the issue of verification. And we wanted to say, is it really true? Do they give us names of things really true? Do they? So that's what we went after. We went after all of that. And that's been going on to this day. I just left Altoona, Pennsylvania last weekend. Other cities in Pennsylvania. Anybody in Pennsylvania? The internment camps from the Nazis that were there. The German element, the satanic ritual abuse in every single city. The unbelievable engagement churches have had to make with satanic ritual abuse there. But not just there. So that's why I want to give you Ezekiel 8 as a backdrop, because it was physically and I believe supernaturally hidden. But God knew, and God took a prophet who was willing and obedient, and he took him right in. And he showed him the detestable things, took him in step by step by step, and showed him more and more, and eventually led him to see the exact people who were the primary elite perpetrators. I'm going to say that in law enforcement, or as believers are going out in evangelism and going after and helping victims, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you this in advance, that there is a physical, like the mafia, like drug lords, like corrupt government, a real secrecy on a physical level, very sophisticated. But there's a supernatural secrecy that, unless with prayer and looking to the Lord and cutting through in that way, I see people being frustrated, diverted, given disinformation, and giving up looking. So I want you to know that ahead of time. A lot of what we want to do is have verification, and but four factors play a role in all of this as we think in terms of the victims and everything else. And I put this on page 18, the blank page. On 18, if you've got a blank piece of paper, four things about the real depth, the underground where victims are, the underground that's vast and big, the underground that I believe is the fuel, like the factory that brings the dark spiritual fuel to bring about this ultimate globalism stuff. There's no ability for Satan to accomplish his agenda without real power on the ground. Just as believers need to understand, there's no ability to win souls and advance the kingdom without the power of God. The same thing's true on the other side, only it's with real dark power and abilities. Four things quickly I put on page 18, the blank sheet of paper there. Number one, the law of physical secrecy. You're going to have to deal with that. The law of physical secrecy. Number two, the law of supernatural secrecy. There's even, and I'll explain this along the way, there's even satanic rituals that can be done to keep them cloaked and invisible to anybody else's eyes, particular rituals. I'm in Cleveland, Ohio, tracking down a federal officer's wife who'd been abducted for an entire day and a half. The federal officer's looking, we're praying, we're engaging Guatemalans from the Circle of Dominion, kind of a cantabile, a voodooish Satanism from down there. That's the group. They were also running drugs. And we're there looking for this woman. I'll call her Mary. It's not her real name, but Mary. And as we were doing that, we found the primary priestess, where phone calls were coming from. Now, there were cult members waiting for me, waiting to attack me, because they were trying to get me to come there by myself, but I didn't. We called the 9th District, and police cars came in. Officers came all over the place. We marched up the stairs, and they began to pound on the door of the priestess. She wouldn't open it. They finally commanded that if you don't open it, they're going to break it down. She opened the door. They walked into a darkened room with little candles everywhere, smoke, with little altars and every kind of little ritual things. They didn't understand. There was money on the floor. There was all kinds of things, and candles and blood things. And I walked in the door, and the priestess looked at me because she knew who I was. She was stunned but also angry. Here's what we found out later, that they had been doing rituals directly against law enforcement from finding them. We found the federal officer's alive later on that evening, and once again gone through a brutalization, physically, sexually, ritually. But there they were, one singular small group. And I'm going to tell you this, I believe that kind of group is in every single city in the United States. They're in Australia and Canada and Ireland and England and France and on and on. That we'll build our case for that as we go along. But 4 points on page 18, if you just want to write them in. The law of physical secrecy, number one. The law of supernatural secrecy, number two. Number three, I think there is also this concept of fear. Do we want to go there? You know, I do believe this, the dark side helps produce fear. They want people to be in fear. And so the dark side, you know, in every way, and that's why manifesting demons through people will scream at you. They want to scare you. The devil's going around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5. And so I believe that a lot of that. And so we need to renounce fear. We need to reject fear. God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Read that in Timothy, right? 1. And let me give you the next factor. The fourth thing here, quickly. Who really is looking for it? I mean, people can read it a little bit here and there, look at a story, a report, blog about it here and there. But I mean, really going after. On the one hand, praying to find victims. And I'll explain some of the depths of the victimization and how they are utterly helpless, like in human trafficking. And by the way, this will connect very deeply with human trafficking and the principles we use here to help find the victims even there. So we want to share that. Let's take a look at page 19. If you're on page 19 of the workbook, but if you want to just if you don't have that yet, just mark a piece of paper, get it later and go back over the archives. But tonight, under the introduction, I'm going to give you a definition. The four things on page 18, here they are again. Number one, the law of physical secrecy. They'll do everything in explicit, sophisticated ways to stay secret. Number two, the law of supernatural secrecy, including rituals that will spiritually keep them cloaked. Number four is the fear factor that I've even seen with law enforcement, but a lot of people and pastors. One lawyer in Akron looked at me one time and said, "Russ, I am so glad you're out there doing this kind of stuff, because I'm just quoting him, because that stuff scares the hell out of me." That's what he said. There's officers, again, that I sat with. They have weapons. Now, some are not, they don't fear anything. They just like, it's all hocus pocus, okay? But the truth is that that's number three, fear. And number four, the principle is nobody's looking for this. Nobody's doing what God led Ezekiel to do. Nobody's really trying to track it down, boots on the ground. And with the ultimate, I mean, I'll tell you stories. This is done, we've been doing this for years and years and years. We take a team in cars and go to locations where we know the stuff is going on, and we spent 15 years to this very day in Kent, Ohio, other cities, another 70 cities where we're praying and praying and praying to do evangelism, but to find victims, to see exposure, and this is what has helped us find victims, find some of the underground, and learn how to pray against it. But there's this factor of hitting the beehive and things happening that way too. So quickly, four things, page 18, just to mark down extra. Number one, law of physical secrecy. Number two, law of supernatural secrecy. Number three, the fear factor. Number four, the fact that who's really looking? I gave up dealing with skeptics and everybody else because they just can't. If somebody's willing to go and look and step out and be used of God, if Ezekiel would have said to God, "Oh, nothing like that can happen inside of, Israel, right?" No, God knows. If you believe in the omniscience of God, then He knows explicitly where every coven is, where every ritual is, where all the victims are. And here's why I'm going to try to put by God's grace, the burden He's put in my heart, I hope it just comes to you, because it's part of what drives us. It's part of what wakes me up in the middle of the night in the past sometimes to think about victims, if we could have gotten to them earlier. So this is important. This is very important. Those are those four points. We're on page 19. Definition. Here it is. Definition. When we're dealing with occult and satanic crimes, here's a basic definition I'm going to give you. Here's how it goes. The ritualistic, I'll read the whole thing, then I'll do it step by step. The ritualistic abuse of animal or human victims, which subjugates them to prolonged and intense torture for the purpose of gaining dark side powers and reward. Here we go again. The ritualistic abuse of animal or human victims, which subjugates them to prolonged and intense torture for the purpose of dark side powers and their rewards. If you study the ritualistic stuff done among the Aztecs or the Mayans, you're going to find that's exactly true. If you study this among other cultures around the world, Africa, other places, if you study this in voodoo, you study it in hoodoo, you study it in the Abakwa, you study this in Palo Mombi, if you study this in traditional Satanism, but the underground SRA, the ancient brotherhood, this is the primary principle. That's what was true in Ezekiel 8. That was true in 2 Kings chapter 21, 22, 23. Manasseh the king was opening to every spiritual thing, and then he was led spiritually, dark side, to sacrifice his own child. It's amazing to read the cultural backgrounds, the historic backgrounds, where the people thought it was a good thing to sacrifice them. So that's important to understand. The ritual abuse of animal or human victims that subjugates them to prolonged and intense torture. And the purpose behind that is for them, the perpetrators, to receive dark spiritual powers. And they get off on a physical level too. And the whole underground can also sex slave traffic and everything else. And even powers and charged blood and things are sold. And so there is much for them to accomplish. But the real ones, the ones that serve the real Satan, who are part of the agenda, that are doing the things to advance that cause, well, they know what they're doing. They know why they're doing it. Their belief structure, I believe, is wrong, but that's why they do it. Now, five things to remember on page 19. Here's five things to remember in this whole picture of occult and satanic crimes and the satanic agenda. Number one, it's what they believe that matters. I will say this throughout the whole course. It originally came from a law enforcement agent named Tom Wedge. I'll tell you about him later. But the concept here is, under point one, it's what they believe, what motivates them. And that's why they do it. So you got to understand, regardless of what you believe, you say, well, I'd never do that. I can't believe anybody do that. Okay, but what they believe, that's important. Number one, five things to remember. It's what they believe that matters. Number two, history since the fall is full of human sacrifice, human slavery, satanic rituals, all the way back to Sumer. You can study it in Christian sources, non-Christian sources, archaeologists around the world. Unbelievable portraits of this. So number two, history since the fall of the human race, when the whole demonic side gained rights to be here, began to do this and lead and guide. So human sacrifice is a big thing, and if anybody understands anything about the Nephilim prior to the flood, then you got to understand that that's part of the whole picture also. There, around all the Nephilim encampments and where architecture was built, you always had human sacrifice. Point number three, five things to remember. Point number three, that all of this that we're talking about has made major cultural impact. Major cultural impact. I'll quickly say this. I don't believe there's a psych ward in the United States that has not dealt with SRA, MPD, or DID, if they call it that. People with multiple personality disorder, 90% or more, is tracked back to satanic ritual abuse. It's a technology from their side. It's developed from the dark spirits. Goes back to the Nazis, maybe further. But it is a, number three, it is a major cultural impact. Number four, it is all spiritually motivated. If you go back to 2 Kings and ask in 21:22, ask why Manasseh sacrificed his own son by being placed into the fire to be burned alive slowly, agonizingly. Why did he do that? Why did the Mayans sacrifice 50 to 70,000 in the last number of years before the end of their civilization? Why did the Aztecs have 140,000 skulls of humans on racks? Why did Richard Ramirez slice up and slaughter and kill women and others? Why did Rollins down in Florida, the Gainsbourg murders, slice up and kill? He said a voice, a presence, a thing called Gemini in him guided him to do it. Why did the shooters do what they did? Why did Robin Gentz and the Ripper crew in Chicago slice up, abduct women, sexually brutalize them, and then in a satanic ritual desecrate the corpse? And it involved human cannibalism in worship to Satan. Jeffrey Dahmer, I saw at DefTech the inside pictures brought in by a law enforcement agent, brought the pictures to show us Jeffrey Dahmer had a satanic altar built with human thigh bones. Nobody told you that in the public. In the academies and everyone that I've been to anyway to learn or speak into or whatever, the overwhelming emphasis in the law enforcement leaders were don't talk about the satanic crime, just deal with the crime. Don't talk about the satanic side. Don't create panic in the community. Just deal with the crime. Same thing in the Catholic system. Of all the thousands and thousands that have been abused sexually, they didn't bring to the courts the black rooms, the satanic ritual abuse, the men in robes. That came out later, and we'll talk about some of the elements of that. So number four is, it's all spiritually motivated. Number five, ready? Number five, you will need deep spiritual insight, wisdom, and power from God to do this course, even if you're just listening to it. Number five, you will need spiritual, deep spiritual insight, wisdom, and power from God to be involved in all of this. Now, I mentioned right below that on page 19 on our website, shadowthedarkness.net, and I give you the link right there. We did a course with 24 hours on Satanism 101. Again, that's there for your resources. It's a few years old, and you can listen to those, you know, on that particular course we did back then, and because we won't do the exact same thing here at all, but it's there as a resource if you want it to listen to here or there when you have time. Bottom of the page 19, here's the question to you. Finish this sentence. It's not what you believe. I'm going to finish it for you. I want you to write it in. It's not what you believe that matters. This is what came from a law enforcement guy named Tom Wedge. He snuck us into the police academies in Worthington and other places to learn when he was teaching on satanic and occult crimes, showing slide after slide after slide to law enforcement individuals and everybody else. Now, this is important. Finish the sentence. It's not, here's what he used to always say to officers, too. It's not what you believe that matters. It's what they believe that matters, because they practice what they believe. If they believe that you can summon demons and blood is used and powers come and they get, you know, benefit from it, if they believe, you know, if they believe in Satan and the agenda, if, you know, so they believe based on, well, we said in point four, you know, spiritual motivation. So it's very important, even if you say, man, this is disgusting, I don't want to hear all, because you're going to hear a lot of blood and gut stuff. And please understand that this is not meant, you know, and I say again, in law enforcement, they have even Tom Wedge's book that we'll mention. It's old. There's newer stuff and broader stuff. It was, you know, books put out by law enforcement presses. They don't give it to everybody else. So it's important that you and I understand the principle that it's not what you believe personally, because you might think this is their stuff is dumb. Why do they do? Well, it's what they believe. Let me give you a story. I'm turning over to page 21. I get called in to talk to a mother who has a daughter that's pregnant. A boy got her pregnant. They broke up, and the mother's keeping the girl from the boy, and they want the boy over, and the boy's mad and angry, but he's calling, and they say he's doing some kind of Enochian chants or rituals and statements and sayings over the phone, and he says that he's going to conjure demons and send them after my daughter. He's going to kill the baby. You know what they were doing? They were outside with canisters and canisters of salt, putting salt around the house, a big circle of salt. As if a demon can't walk past salt. Crazy, huh? So when they call me there to do all of this, and I pray with them and talk to them and tell them you don't need the salt, you need Jesus, the authority of Christ, and his protection, and all the rest, they gave me the address of the boy. We've done this many times, but I went to the boy's house unannounced, just knocked on the door. The boy, I think the older brother or younger, I forget which, called. He came to the door. And I said, hey, I'm so-and-so, and I'm here to tell you that, you know, and I begin to share God and Christ's love and share with him, and that, you know, that he doesn't need to do this to that girl, and it's a very evil thing to do rituals against, you know, an unborn baby in a womb. And he got very angry, of course, and very mad, of course. He was a dabbler. He was a, and we're going to talk about the different kinds here on the next, this page 21. He was a dabbler, but he got a hold of material. You get kids getting a hold of the, you know, even just like the Satanic Bible, there's death ritual, there's destruction ritual, there's sex rituals. Back in the 80s and 90s, you can barely get some of this stuff. But now, I mean, now the books on how to do rituals, the kinds of rituals, specifics, it's off the charts. I mean, I've got so many around me that we've researched and got from the underground and confiscated, and the Black Mass, a French version of it, and all this other stuff over the years. We've seen them. I've read them. They are despicable. Like God said to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 8, it's detestable. The delight they have in the cutting of the skin, the delight they have to see the first pop of red blood, the spiritual frenzy and the kind of bloodlust and demon lust and all that comes with it. Another young man was a skinhead. I engaged him, and he was really out of it and messed up, and I started talking to him, and he said he was into the skinhead movement, and some skinheads took him down around Columbus, Ohio. And he was taken to a barn where they were doing this partying and everything else, and a group of them took him over to another area of the barn where some were in a circle. And I'm just telling you, this young man described a human baby sacrifice, and that he was petrified, and that he couldn't, I mean, he knew he couldn't say anything, couldn't do anything. This kid was demonized. The demons came to the forefront, and he fell to the ground. We had to deal with that. We had to deal with some programming inside of him. He was only 21 years old. Very damaged. Very damaging what he saw, what he was brought into back in the 90s, this story. So let's take a look real quick now in this first hour. We got about 10 minutes left or so. Page 21. Page 21. Types of Satanism. I want to give you seven of them. I mean, there's probably more. There's all kinds of brands. There's all kinds of smaller groups. But I'm just going to give you the basics. Seven basic styles or kinds. Number one, dabbler. The dabbler. Again, this is, could be kids that have seen things on the back of album covers and pentagrams, and they go to the local cemetery and knock over tombs and put anarchy signs and upside down, you know, inverted pentagrams, and they're the ones that will write things on their shirts and say, you know, goat's head symbol with their left hand. So they're the dabblers, and it's not, and they have things on their t-shirts, and their music is oriented that way, but it's dangerous. Spiritually, it opens the door for demonization. Over the years, we've dealt with a lot of individual kids demonized because of them getting into. Now, I mentioned before, and I've been praying for, and years ago, law enforcement guys took me into the Jar Arena to, you know, to listen to, and then they wanted to purposely take me to meet Marilyn Manson, the guys from Slayer, Pantera, Danzig, Peter Steele from Type O Negative, other groups. Now, and I met some. There's others that I did not get to meet. I really wanted to meet the guys from and engage the guys from Slayer. They had an album out called South of Heaven. There's a song called Spill the Blood. And there's people that use those lyrics. Some feel the lyrics are very dark lead and invites young people or anybody to spill the blood, you know, open the door for the demonic. Bloodletting can do that. So dabblers can get involved. Sean Sellers, the case, and you can research his case, read books about him. I saw a video on him when people within the youth ministry I was in back, you know, years ago engaged and talked to him while he was in prison. Sean Seller was growing up. Of course, he had a stepfather and the real mom. He got into, I think because a babysitter girl gave him some books or something. He also talks about how he got angry at God because God didn't give him the girl that he wanted. So anger was there. Bottom line is he got into Satanism as a dabbler. Then he got into it kind of in a sophisticated way. He was learning, drinking blood. They wanted to break all the Ten Commandments. They wanted to Every single thing they wanted to break, go against God, they wanted, and so they killed. And then he talks about, and I remember when I saw this on video, he talks about how in his bedroom he had a satanic altar in the closet. He had a, somehow he had learned to, and he drank blood and it gave him, he said it was just energized him. He loved the taste of blood. And he said that he wore like this protective pentagram around his neck to contain the demonic, whatever ritual he did. But in the closet, one night he went in there. He did some kind of ritual, took off his protective pentagram and said, this is what he says. He felt his chest expand. And then with kind of an energetic and satanic glee, he says, he went out and shot his stepfather and killed him and shot his mother as they lie sleeping and killed her. And he felt a satanic revel afterwards. He would have been considered in the beginning a dabbler. Dabblers can be dangerous for themselves spiritually, can bring harm, can open the doors, can become demonized, possessed, and they can harm. And they do learn through books and other adults, maybe a cat sacrifice or a dog sacrifice. Point number two, types of Satanism, self-styled. I'm in a graveyard down in Akron. We're doing a burial for a little five-year-old that drowned. The entire crowd is gathering around, but as we pulled in, I looked to my right, and there's a man who had shaved his head, had a little bit of hair coming out the back of the middle of his head in a ponytail, just a little stream. Rest of his head, he was all dressed in black, had a pentagram around his neck. He had a saxophone. He was playing the saxophone over graves as if to summon the dead or the demons or whatever. We're gathered around the little five-year-old's casket. All the people and family were gathered in. We bowed our heads to pray, and I looked up. This guy had joined our crowd after I spoke and purposely mentioned some things for him to hear, bowed our heads to pray and closed the service. He disappeared. There's a lot of those kind of self-styled Satanists. They read books, read materials. They're a little bit more like loners. They can be very dangerous. They're out to do and gain. And a lot of times, dabblers, number one, self-styled, number two. A lot of times, and I would say in a real sense, the Getz, if you look at Robin Gintz in Chicago, or just look, you know, do a search on the Ripper crew in Chicago, they were kind of a self-styled, but into Satanism. That's what motivated them. They slaughtered people. They used them in satanic rituals. They did, I mean, if you read the stories and the crime reports and hear anything about it, there used to be some video about it. It's unbelievable, just like God said in Ezekiel 8, despicable. It is despicable. It is horrific. You don't even want to believe it. Detestable is what God said, detestable. Point number three, psycho-Satanism. Richard Ramirez, think in terms of him, the Night Stalker of California. Again, more than a dabbler, yeah, he's self-styled in a way, but among the cops, among everybody else, he just seemed radically evil, psycho-oriented, and that's what's happening with a lot of times when we see programmed and or demonized individuals that kill and do things. You know, the world, the contemporary world will say, oh, they're just crazy, they're just mad, they're just psycho. There are psycho-Satanists that are motivated to eat people. Demonized, and they're into Satanism at some level. Different brands, different levels. This has happened among Babalaos and Bokurs and the Voodoo and others. No question about it. Psycho-Satanism, though, when some individuals so lost and demonized get a hold of things. I was reading reports somebody sent me today about a father that sacrificed his little girl. They found him. They caught him. And it said they didn't want to even talk about the body of the girl. Okay? Psycho-Satanism. The kind that seemed simply to be crazy. And some would say Dahmer was just nuts or crazy or mental. No. The truth is, if they would have looked deeper, he had multiple personality disorder. which is connected to Satanism. He was worshiping and engaged in the dark powers. And look what he was doing. He was eating human beings. He had human meat in his refrigerator, drilling holes in the heads. He was into a kind of a demon-possessed sexual addiction with young boys. Point number four, popular Satanism. Anton LaVey, the Church of Satan, things like that. They're legal. They're out there. There's all kinds of subgroups. You can even think more sophisticated, The Temple of Set by Michael Aquino. And again, books that I'll recommend to you will have all this in broader stuff. I have it in broader materials in my book. But that course, Satanism 101, 24 hours, that'll give you a lot more in this breakdown. Popular Satanism, there's thousands and thousands and thousands connected to the Church of Satan. Matter of fact, I noticed in studying and researching, their websites are really designed well and really put out there. There's a lot of Church of Satanists out there that have done a lot of websites all over the place and have millions of hits, millions and millions of hits and connection. Number five, traditional Satanism. Traditional Satanism. Let me mention the Cathedral of the Black Goat in Los Angeles. Father Maradon wrote a book called The Devil's Bible. I have it here. I've read it. It describes traditional Satanism believes in Satan directly. Traditional Satanism lays out in their Devil's Bible how you can do rituals. You do ceremony rituals that where you're going to renounce God, renounce Christ, desecrate Bibles, do everything, shut the door on God, and open wide to Satan and get into a personal relationship with Satan. Number one, dabblers. Number two, self-styled. Number three, psycho-Satanism. Number four, popular Satanism like the Church of Satan. Number five, traditional Satanism. With the robes, with the ceremonies, with the chanting, with the circles, with the stuff on the ground, and they really do believe they're engaging Satan. They really do make, and I'm not going to tell you how to get the book, but they have actual rituals that they invite people to do that will open the door to have direct connection to Satan and or demons. But he tells you that you can't get out. Once you do that, you know, he says you can't get out. So they understand, you know, when you give yourself completely, you know, this priest, satanic priest, writing his devil's Bible is telling the readers that if you try to get out afterwards, you know, Satan's going to come after you and rip you up. That's the idea. So number five is traditional Satanism. Number six is an occult variety. An occult variety. That can be anywhere from what is called, in the Haitian sense, of voodoo, cantabile, hoodoo, Abakwa, Palomombi, even some would say there's some this element in Santeria. And I would agree, yeah, 56,000 Mason temples in the United States. Yeah, there's no question there. Albert Pike believed that they were to be directly in connection with Lucifer. They believe Lucifer was the good guy. Matter of fact, what Albert Pike writes in his Dogmas and Morals, in that, for the Masons, Father Maradon writes almost the exact same concepts of Satan as a light bearer in what's called the Devil's Bible. They match up completely. So I agree, but I'm also going to say Crowleyanism. Aleister Crowley, more people into him now than when he was ever alive, and worldwide, multiple languages his book. He's the guy that's called the Beast. He was into everything. He was involved in human sacrifice, sexual stuff, bondage stuff, death stuff. Now, it is true that he did this ritual with his son, and his son died, and that's when he went really downhill. And he died crazed, sick, maybe diseased, whatever else, and poor, in poverty. Like the Judas principle, I believe when Satan, I want Satanists to hear me now too, because I know Satanists will come in. We're asking everybody to be good and nice and kind in the chat room, because you could get kicked out. Because we want to focus on the training, we want to focus on this, and be very careful anybody putting up any links, because I don't know who everybody is, and some people have clicked on links in the past, and it just completely shut down their computers, and so we're asking nobody to do that kind of stuff, and there might be some trouble at some point, but we hope that there will not be. Let me mention the last two here, and then we're going to take a little bit, just a three-minute break, because we're at 8:30 right now, and that's a good thing. Number six is occult variety. That's a lot of things. That includes, though, Crowleyanism, the Aleister Crowley side, Jack Parsons and the Babylon working, the Amalantra working. Now, you're going to find a lot of the details of this in the books I tell you about, in the videos we might point you to. Number seven, the Ancient Brotherhood. This is the real Luciferian, and this is the group that we'll focus a lot on through the entire course. This is the multi-generational bloodline group that goes all the way back to Sumer. These are the guys, whether you believe this or not, remember what I said? What they believe matters. They believe their form of Satanism, Luciferianism, is the strongest. It is the most powerful. It is real. They are the most connected. They are the most sophisticated. So, yeah, you've got it right there in the chat room. Number one, dabbler. Number two, self-styled. Number three, psycho. Number four, popular. Number five, traditional. Number six, occult variety. Number seven, the Ancient Brotherhood. That's what's behind Ancient Brotherhood, or real Luciferianism. That's who's behind 40 million or more victims of satanic ritual abuse around the world, now into four generations. And I would say, in all of my assessment in all these years, reading, engagement, everything else, engaging some of them directly, they are truly the most powerful. They are the one, whether we believe this or not, they believe they are the ones to help bring in the Antichrist. They believe they're doing the rituals, they're preparing the way, they're doing what's necessary. They believe they're the ones connected to the elitists, that they're the power behind the political, economic, military elitists, the shadow government, that they're the ones that bring the power. They're the troops on the ground, in a sense, of Antichrist, the super soldier for Satan. And I spent a lot of time in that book, The Black Awakening, writing about that particular version. And that's what we deal with the most. So we've got those seven forms, and I'm going to take and give everybody a three-minute break, because I've got to change each hour. I need to change something here on the computer. So I'm going to give you a three-minute break, and I'm going to you'll hear some music. I'll be back in 3 minutes. The chat room will be locked just while I'm doing this for 3 minutes. You'll be able to hear the music. You'll hear me, but 3 minutes. Get something to drink, cup of coffee, bathroom break. We'll be back.